Growing up in Middletown, Ohio, nicknamed Middletucky for its Appalachian transplants, J.D. Vance lived between two worlds. His family had traveled the Hillbilly Highway from Jackson, Kentucky, part of a massive migration that brought over a million Appalachians to Ohio's industrial centers by 1960. Companies like Armco Steel actively recruited in eastern Kentucky, offering wages that seemed like unimaginable wealth to coal mining families. J.D.'s grandparents, Mama and Papa, left Jackson as teenagers when 14-year-old Mama became pregnant. In Ohio, they found economic opportunity but cultural displacement. These hillbilly enclaves maintained their dialect, customs, and family networks, often disturbing northern sensibilities. When Papa's friend slaughtered chickens in his backyard, horrified neighbors invoked zoning laws, prompting Mama's colorful condemnation of regulations that interfered with their traditional practices. The migration disrupted traditional family structures. In Jackson, privacy barely existed. Relatives freely entered homes and offered unsolicited advice. But in Middletown, a man's home was his castle, forcing transplants to navigate new boundaries without their traditional support networks. Despite these challenges, Mama and Papa built a middle-class life that outwardly appeared successful, though beneath the surface, tensions were brewing that would shape generations to come. By the mid-1960s, the Vance household was in turmoil. Papa's alcoholism intensified while Mama became reclusive, known as the Evil Witch of McKinley Street. Their volatile relationship exemplified hillbilly culture's mix of honor and instability. J.D.'s mother, Bev, shaped by this unstable environment, struggled throughout her life. Pregnant at 18, she abandoned college and moved between relationships while battling prescription painkiller addiction. J.D.'s childhood became a blur of relocations, domestic violence, and his mother's deepening addiction. This trauma had biological consequences. Harvard research shows sustained childhood stress alters brain chemistry, creating adults who are hypervigilant and quick to anger. J.D.'s score of 6 out of 10 on the adverse childhood experiences, compared to his girlfriend's 0, reflected this impact. These childhood adaptations often persist despite financial success. The survival tactics that protected J.D., like aggressive self-defense and hiding money, later hindered his adult life. Even after Yale Law School, he struggled to suppress confrontational instincts in minor situations like traffic disputes. Several figures emerged as crucial protectors in J.D.'s life. His sister Lindsay, 5 years older, became a surrogate parent, feeding him, calling grandparents during fights, and serving as his first line of defense. Only later did he realize she was just a young girl learning to protect both herself and her brother. Mama, a fierce, foul-mouthed hillbilly with unwavering loyalty, proved most transformative. When J.D. moved in with her, she set 3 rules: maintain good grades, get a job, and help at home. This structure allowed him to thrive. She combined toughness with unconditional love, teaching him proper fighting technique while establishing clear moral boundaries. She forbade him from seeing friends who used drugs and supported his education relentlessly, even writing to him daily during Marine boot camp. These protective figures gave J.D. what many peers lacked, someone who cared about his future and would fight for it. They created vital social capital, connecting him to opportunities that likely saved him from his community's common downward trajectory. As J.D. matured, he saw that his community's problems went deeper than economics. While Middletown's downtown had deteriorated into pawn shops and payday lenders, the core issues were cultural and psychological. The community displayed self-defeating behaviors, spending lavishly on electronics while accumulating debt, living in chaos, neglecting education, and making excuses for unemployment. These patterns continued even when jobs were available. At a tile warehouse where J.D. worked, good positions went unfilled because young men couldn't maintain basic work habits. The attitude toward education was contradictory. Parents claim to value it, but rarely enforce standards, making excuses for poor performance. Success was viewed as stemming from either family connections or natural talent, with little emphasis on effort. This fostered learned helplessness, the belief that one's actions were futile. Research from the Pew Economic Mobility Project showed working-class whites as uniquely pessimistic, with only 44% expecting their children to fare better economically, far lower than other demographic groups. At 17, facing poor grades and an uncertain future, J.D. joined the Marine Corps despite his family's skepticism. With the Iraq War beginning, he committed to 4 years of service, terrified but determined. Boot camp at Parris Island became a crucible that revealed his potential. Through relentless challenges from drill instructors and seemingly impossible physical tests, he overcame his learned helplessness. He progressed from fearing a 30-foot rope climb to mastering it one-armed. The Marines provided practical adult education his family couldn't, systematically addressing gaps in knowledge from physical fitness to personal finances. His superiors guided him through essential life skills, ensuring he managed money wisely and avoided pitfalls like predatory loans. Most importantly, the Marines replaced his self-doubt with determination. Where he once confused lack of effort for inability, he learned to push beyond perceived limits. As one drill instructor shouted after a run, "If you're not puking, you're lazy." This mentality, that giving your all wasn't just a catchphrase but a way of life, transformed him completely. At Yale Law School, J.D. encountered a privileged world vastly different from his upbringing. The school's neo-Gothic architecture and casual visits from figures like Tony Blair highlighted this divide. Class differences surfaced subtly, like being one of only two students who helped clean after group meals. Though initially concealing his background, he gradually came to terms with it while navigating between worlds. Yale presented unfamiliar social challenges, from wine selections to formal dining etiquette. His first encounter with sparkling water ended in embarrassment. The opportunity gap became clear in job hunting. While countless applications after college had yielded nothing, elite firms now offered six-figure salaries after brief interviews. The difference wasn't merit, but social capital. When he stumbled in an interview, a recommender's call secured his position. At a DC Walmart, JD's difficulty selecting Salvation Army gifts exposed cultural divides, each choice echoing his childhood where pajamas were luxuries and toys invited scrutiny. The experience contrasted his past Christmases, defined by financial hardship, with more affluent families who prioritized meaning over materialism. Despite his success, JD remains connected to his roots. When his drug-addicted mother needed help, he found himself arranging her motel accommodation at midnight in Middletown. His faith, understanding of her trauma, and acknowledgement of his own wounds compelled him to help. His journey exemplifies what his community needs: honest self-reflection and responsibility. While policy changes matter, lasting solutions must come from within. The American dream remains possible, but requires addressing both personal choices and systemic barriers. Communities must foster environments where children facing poverty and addiction can develop resilience.